Comfort, comfort, ye my people. For unto us a child is born, good news of great joy, the titles of Christ, the Magnificat. These are some of the Christmas card themes produced by Ad Crucem. Send a greeting card this Christmas season that's centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. AdCrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com, AdCrucem.com.
Are we a nation that kicks out a striving, hopeful immigrant like Astrid? Or are we a nation that finds a way to welcome her in? Scripture tells us that we shall not oppress a stranger, for we know the heart of a stranger. We were strangers once too.
That's President Obama speaking last night and quoting from several passages in Exodus chapters 21 and 23 and alluding to an idea that's found not only there but in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, several of the prophets of the Old Testament about oppressing a stranger and applying it, it seems, to 21st century America and its problems of illegal immigration. Joining us to talk about this passage, its original context, whether or not it applies to illegal immigration, much less to 21st century problems with illegal immigration, Professor Tom Egger. He's assistant professor of Old Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. Good to be here.
What's wrong, whether it's a conservative president or a liberal president, pulling a passage out of the Old Testament and applying it to 21st century America?
Yeah, well, I think it's appropriate to note that it is both conservative and liberal presidents who have been doing this now for a couple of generations. It has become fairly standard in American politics to reference scripture and oftentimes take it out of context for political uses, and that I think ultimately is a dangerous thing, especially maybe most dangerous for those inside the church, as we allow our scriptural categories to be taken over into political categories sometimes. And I think the most dangerous thing about quoting directly from the Old Testament and applying it to the United States is that many of these passages, including the ones that that President Obama quoted last night, apply to a very specific historical situation and to a very specific historical people, to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the people of God in the Old Testament. And they need to be heard, first of all, in that context, in the biblical context in which they're spoken.
Is that to say that Scripture has nothing to say about how any people living at any time would treat those who sojourn among them, so to speak?
No, I think in terms of the history of the use of scripture in American political rhetoric, I think the speech last night was actually, in some ways, one of the more appropriate uses. I think it was inappropriate in the sense that it takes some words that God himself speaks to the children of Israel, saying that they should not oppress the stranger or the sojourner in their midst because they themselves were strangers, they themselves were sojourners. That actually is a reference to the time that the Israelites spent in slavery in Egypt. And the way that it was spoken in the speech last night, it made it sound as if this applies directly to Americans because Americans know what it is to be strangers because we're an immigrant nation. Now, that's a half-truth. It is true that we are an immigrant nation, and there is a common sense level on which that does apply to us. We should take heart and consider that we ourselves, our ancestors, came to this country as immigrants, and yet the passage that he was quoting is speaking to the people of Israel in the Old Testament in a very specific situation. It's also interesting that that same idea then is picked up in the New Testament and is applied not to any particular nation or not to the concept of immigration into a new country, but it's actually picked up and applied, especially by Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, to the bringing in of all peoples to Jesus Christ, into the church of Jesus. Those who were alienated from God, alienated from God's people Israel, just by the fact that they were Gentile nations, are now being welcomed and brought near to God in Christ, so that they're no longer strangers and aliens.
In its original context, we're talking here about Exodus 21, 23. It's repeated again in Leviticus 19, Deuteronomy 10. The prophets take it up, both Jeremiah, Zechariah, Malachi, all repeat this general idea that because the people of Israel have the term is often sojourners past, they ought to have a special deference toward those who are not native to their ethnicity or even to their religion. They ought to have deference to them when they sojourn among them. Why is this so important?
Well, ultimately, it connects with the most fundamental command of all, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. At least it's the second most fundamental commandment. The most fundamental command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. But Jesus says this second commandment is like unto it. It's just as important to love your neighbor as yourself. And you mentioned Leviticus, and the passage in Leviticus actually says, you shall treat the stranger who sojourns among you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. That's Leviticus 19:34. And so there, the Old Testament actually connects it not only with the fact that they were strangers in the land of Egypt, but also with this basic principle that you should love another as you love yourself. And in that sense, it's very appropriate that our president would encourage us to be mindful as citizens, not only of our own welfare, but also of the welfare of our neighbor, those living among us.
So I take it that to take this passage in its plain and simple original sense could give us some insight into how we might regard illegal immigrants in the United States today, but it can't be made as a one-for-one application, and it certainly cannot be put forth as kind of, here's my scriptural proof for a particular policy.
I think that's the key, isn't it? That it's one thing to encourage people in a general sense to, first of all, in their own private life as citizens, and we could say within the church as Christians, since he's quoting our scriptures to us, he's reminding us that God calls on us to love those among us, and we should certainly look for every opportunity to look out for the needs of those living among us who are undocumented immigrants. We should look for ways to protect them from the many ways in which they can be taken advantage of because of their status and oppressed in this country. But that isn't to say that that simply quoting that passage justifies any particular legal policy or political policy on the issue. Those are certainly matters for debate. God has given to the government the legal authority to pass laws, to enforce those laws, and I guess my own point of view on this particular issue is that there's some merit in the things that he's proposing. I wish our politicians could make some headway to make some clear decisions and communicate some clear decisions on these things to the people in our nation, to our law enforcement, but that it seems to me that the person in charge of enforcing the laws in our land should regard those laws himself. I guess that's my fear in this whole situation. But that's a political and not a theological observation.
The original context, kind of, if we could describe it, Tom, as the context of their previous slavery in Egypt seems to inform an awful lot of how God would have his people in the Old Testament treat those, we would say, maybe the disenfranchised. But he includes widows, fatherless, the sojourner, the poor, people who do not have legal or familial recourse. They just the kind of outside the system that the other citizens would enjoy. Why is that context of you were once slaves so predominant in the way God has structured the life of his people in the Old Testament?
Yeah, well, I think first of all, just like you said, those who are aliens, those who are poor and lowly in slavery, historically, those are the people who are most vulnerable and most subject to oppression, and the Israelites had experienced that. They had been oppressed. The same verb that's used here for do not oppress a stranger or a sojourner among you is the very same word that's used for the way that the Egyptians were treating or mistreating the Israelites. The Israelites had been there. The Israelites had known that that anguish, that the bitterness. It talks about how the Egyptians made their lives bitter because of the way that they mistreated them. And they cried out to God. And the Old Testament is very clear that there is a God in heaven who is the Father of us all, who hears the cries of his children. He hears the cries of the poor and the lowly. And in the story of the Exodus, he comes down from heaven, and with a mighty hand, you might almost say a ruthless hand in the end, or an unsparing hand. There was no mistake that he was coming to turn the tables on those who had mistreated his children. And so the Israelites had known that pain. They had also known the loving compassion of a God who heard their needs and came to help them. And so now, when they come into their own land, God calls on them to remember and not to forget. And how easy it is to forget what it is to be a vulnerable person in need when you're no longer in that situation, and how cruel human hearts are to one another so often in taking advantage of those that we can take advantage of.
Professor Tom Eggery is our guest, assistant professor of Old Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. We're talking about President Obama's quote of oppressing the stranger from the Old Testament during last night's address on illegal immigration. We'll be right back. Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Us to
the 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday afternoon, November the 21st, we were talking about President Obama quoting an Old Testament passage about oppressing the stranger during last night's address on illegal immigration. Professor Tom Egger is our guest. Tom, is there a thread? Is it safe to say that there's a thread in the entire structure of how God puts together the life of his people in the Old Testament vis-a-vis the position of slavery or sojourning that they were once in?
Yeah. Yes, the Old Testament very much looks out for the lowly, and in particular in this category of the stranger or the sojourner, the Hebrew word is ger. The Israelites were to look out for these aliens who were living in their midst, and God actually gave them specific instructions in certain regards. They were not to harvest their vineyards or their fields fully. They weren't to go back over with the second pass and glean every last fruit of the harvest. They were to leave those things for the poor and for the sojourners, the aliens in their midst, the foreigners who had come to live in their midst. They weren't to harvest their fields to the corners, God's law says. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, I think you mentioned that verse earlier, it actually connects this idea with the character of God himself. It talks about the Lord your God, he is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God, and goes on to say he loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. And then it says, love the sojourner, therefore. So God himself is the one who's portrayed as taking care of, looking out for the poor, the lowly, but he calls his people to be, in a sense, his hands. We talk about our many vocations in life, and this is one of the ways in which we can be masks of God. This is one of our vocations. It's the vocation of every child of God, every person who bears the name of Christ. All of his people are called to manifest the character of God in the world by looking out for the poor and the lowly. And that includes specifically the category of those living in a land as aliens, because they do tend to be vulnerable.
There's really a stunning story, the story of Ruth, that hinges upon the you know, one faithful Israelite actually doing these things. He observes this thing to the point of even redeeming a Gentile in order to kind of save her and her mother-in-law's life.
Yeah.
And without any coincidence, plays directly into the lineage of Jesus.
Absolutely, too. Absolutely. And we ourselves, all of us who aren't Jewish by birth, Jewish by blood, have been grafted into the people of God and to their Messiah by God's grace. We have been. There's a sense in which we don't necessarily connect with the passage that President Obama quoted by the fact that our ancestors immigrated to America, but we do connect with those passages in the sense that we ourselves were strangers. All of us who are Gentiles have been graciously welcomed into the people of God, in a sense, through Jesus. We've been welcomed into that one people, the full Israel, God's full Israel, Old and New Testament Israel.
You mentioned that earlier on, that this in the New Testament is taken up as applying to the conversion of Gentiles, that it's taken up as this kind of idea that once you are far off, now you've been brought near. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Paul talks about that in Ephesians 12, and in his letter to the Romans, he uses that wonderful image of the tree. We have been, we Gentiles have been grafted into the tree of God's one people by grace through Christ. And what a wonderful privilege that is, and what a clear calling that is, first of all, to reach out to others, to welcome them into this same people, the people of God, the church, those who know Christ. And also, I think it does have application to the way that we go about our life as citizens, that we are a welcoming, caring people to the neighbors who live around us.
Is it a general ethos of mercy? That is to say, in very clear New Testament terms, we are to be merciful as we have been shown mercy in Christ.
Yeah. Yep, that's the bottom line, isn't it? That to remember how much God has done for us. And, you know, we could spend the whole afternoon just listing all of the mercies that he's shown us. But we owe so much to him, and like Jesus' parable of the unmerciful servant who was forgiven so much and then turned around and took his neighbor by the throat and mistreated him, demanded that he pay everything, we too should heed that the message of that story and be merciful servants of God because he has shown us so much mercy.
At the same time, someone's going to say, well, it sounds like you actually have proven President Obama's point that this is a perfect passage for either suggesting or compelling us to grant amnesty to illegal immigrants. How would you respond, Tom?
Well, the scripture also teaches that God has put governments in place to punish wrongdoing and also just to simply maintain order within a land for the blessing of all. To live in quietness and godliness is in peaceful times with a well-structured society is a gift of God. And a government plays a role in that. And the immigration laws of a country can certainly be a part of that wise ruling. How should our immigration laws be structured? At what rate should we welcome people into this country? I don't think there's a single American who thinks that we should just build walls, iron walls around our country and not let a single person in. So the question is simply, how should we structure the coming in of people, the joining of people into the blessings that we have as citizens of this country? These passages don't cancel out the responsibility of governments to make those kinds of laws and to order society in a wise and well-structured way. And so they don't absolve the president from responsibility to enforce the laws of the land. They don't absolve the president from responsibility to follow the laws of the land in the way that he governs. And those are the kinds of things that that have all the political talking heads today talking, because those are the issues in play.
Two final questions. I mean, we're not political advisors, but would the president be better off, rather than trying to find a Bible passage to support a particular policy, to simply argue on the basis of pragmatism? If he wants an amnesty, then let him make a pragmatic case for this is the most practical thing we can do. What do you think, Tom?
Yeah, I think that is part of what he tried to do in his speech last night. He didn't just quote a couple Bible passages and say case closed. I think he tried to make the case to the American people for the wisdom of the policy that he's advocating. But that is ultimately the conversation that needs to be had. And I think that an awful lot of your listeners, an awful lot of conservative Christians tend to be conservative politically. I myself am. And I think that this is an issue where we really do need to have good conversation on all fronts and really work towards a solution that doesn't just thump our chests politically towards one agenda or another, but that really asks the question, how can we have an orderly society and also look out for those who are living in our midst, including these families who have been our neighbors for, in many cases, many years. How can we look out for them and take care of them as a society? How can we welcome them into our society? I think we need to be looking for ways to do that, and I think Christians can have a voice in shifting the discussion a little bit from political chest thumping and moving the conversation towards a real concern for the welfare of the citizenry of the country and the welfare of all.
You used the term neighbor there. Do we do well within all that we've said here to remind ourselves that whether someone is illegally or legally in the country, insofar as we have dealings with them, they are still our neighbor in the New Testament sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, in this particular case also, I think to put yourself in someone else's shoes. That's not necessarily a biblical phrase, but certainly the idea of loving our neighbor as ourself, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is, in a sense, putting ourselves in other shoes. And I think, you know, as I have a number of children, and a lot of your listeners have children, I think we should all ask ourselves, if we had children and were living in abject poverty and had an opportunity for a better life for our children, would we seek it out? And I think in this case, these neighbors of ours who are breaking the law are still worthy of a certain amount of compassion and understanding.
Can, with only about 30 seconds here, can Christians of goodwill disagree on the issue of immigration reform?
They do. I've had a lot of conversations, and my own views on this have kind of changed and morphed, and I've spoken with a lot of brothers and sisters within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and from other church bodies as well, and there are really a number of positions at which Christians arrive, really, you know, what I would say, in good conscience, wanting to apply their faith and apply wisdom, apply love to this issue. I think different people come to different conclusions about what the wisest course would be moving forward, the wisest policy course, and that's why we need to have debates, we need to have discussions, and we probably need to have some compromises and come to some decisions and some clarity.
Professor Tom Egger is Assistant Professor of Old Testament at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure.
When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Friday afternoon, November the 21st. We're going to do This Week in Pop American Christianity with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. All one subject this time. There were some recent comments made by a Vision Casting pastor. His name is David Hughes. He is of the Church by the Glades in South Florida, one of the largest churches in the Southern Baptist Convention. We'll let him say it in his own words and get Chris's reaction, but the bottom line is he referred to Christians in his congregation who wanted sound doctrine and worship as the excrement of the body of Christ. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. More Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit outdoornativitystore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store, outdoornativitystore.com,